Greetings to each of you tonight in the name of Jesus, the name of above all names. He's the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I am. Jesus is his name. And we're gathered tonight because of him. And it is good to be here. Good to be with God's people. Another place I'd rather be, but with God's people. As we prepare for this weekend, I trust we came praying. I hope and trust that we've emptied our closets and we did business in our closets. I'm not necessarily just saying in our closets, in our houses, but the closets of our hearts. I trust that this weekend we came by taking the things out of our closets and getting shut in with God. It's the only way that God's going to move this weekend. It's not because of Amos. It's not because of Merv. It's because of Jesus. When God's people get shut in with him, I believe it's when God opens the windows of heaven and God reigns upon his people. If there was ever a time, as we all know, I believe it's in a time that hit, I don't know if history could ever record as the time of today. In a world where there's much fear and turmoil, where there's a lot of fear and hearts are gripped with fear and they're looking for hope and looking for a way out and can't find it. And the only people that God has is you and I, is those who love him, those who have been redeemed. But the thoughts were recently, I believe it is in 2 Chronicles. This was not on my heart to share this tonight. And 2 Chronicles 7, I think it is found. Verse 14, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, it says, and pray, and then to seek my face. To pray, friends, it takes time to pray. If we want revival in our land, it's going to begin with who? God's people. But it's going to begin with me. We all expect revival, but it's going to begin with my heart, my life. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. This is talking about his people. He's not talking about the people out in the world. He's talking about his people whom he's called out, whom he has chosen, whom he has redeemed. Then, he says, will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land. If there's ever a need in our time where revival needs to take place in our homes, in our individual lives, in our churches, we like to think of revival happening outside in the world where people outside get saved. Friends, I'm convinced tonight that the church needs to be revived. Because the church, God is looking for to shine that light into a dark world. And we need to be, I'm convinced, the time we're living in and the things that's surrounding us and the things that wants to rob, our time, our joy and our peace. And maybe it's because we've latched on too many things. But anyway, tonight, I thought in the beginning of these meetings, just to lay the foundation of this week, is to talk about the blood. The blood that was shed at the cross. A simple message of why the blood was shed. You know, up until we understand about the blood and what the blood was shed for, we need cleansing continuously. We need revival. And revival is the way revival happens is seeing our need for God. And how do we see our need for God? There's just things in our lives sometimes. And again, it takes that blood. It takes the blood to cleanse us. It takes the blood to wash us and to make us pure and holy within. God wants a relationship with his children. And so tonight, just to look at a few verses here this evening, let's turn in the beginning, let's turn to Romans 5, 8, and 9. a familiar chapter, one of my favorite chapters in the New Testament. Paul's writings especially. Romans 8. Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. We may preach out of Romans 8 this week for a message. We think about the sacrifice that it took to cleanse us, to wash us clean. And we think about, I read the account again this week on the Israelites. When they were in Egypt, and there they were, they were in bondage there. They needed a deliverer. They needed somebody to take them out of there. And God used Moses. But I think about the night before they left. There was going to, a death angel was going to pass through Egypt. And it did pass through Egypt. And God, out of His great mercy and His great love, seen His people there in Egypt. And He wanted to spare them. And there was something that had to take place there in Egypt. We know the story. And they had to go out and find the sheep or a goat and find something that was spotless, by the way. And this blood had to be, and to kill this sheep and this goat, and to apply that blood upon the lintels of the door. If they didn't, there was going to be a death angel that's going to pass through that night. And whoever would, and the blood that had to be upon the lintel was to save them from the death angel to enter that home. Because if the death angel entered that home, the firstborn of that home was going to be killed, was going to die. And I can just imagine, friends, tonight, what every father did. Everything he could in his power. Or maybe even the children even said, "Daddy, do you remember? Did you prepare the lamb? Did you prepare the sacrifice tonight? To apply the blood upon the lintel so the death angel can pass over." I believe every father did. I can't imagine that there's not a father that wouldn't have. To prepare for that death angel to pass over. But what happened that night to the home that the blood was not applied? There was a death in the home. That evening. My oldest son is here tonight. And just to think about me and myself being too busy to not to take time out to kill that lamb or that goat, whatever I had, to apply the blood upon the doorpost or the lintel so the death angel can pass over. You know, friends, this blood that we're talking about tonight is not about the bulls and the goats. It's not about the animals that had to be sacrificed. It's about God's only Son, the best thing He could find in heaven, the best He couldn't find it on the earth. And He had to look throughout heaven to find something that was going to be the supreme sacrifice. And He found His only Son. I don't know, you know, we don't read it. But I wonder if the Father and the Son had some communication together. And I've watched a skit one time that played it out. We don't read it where the father communicated with the son, "Would you go?" But it was played out. And this father went to the son. And his son told the son, "It's the only thing I have left to do. Are you willing to go?" But anyway, Jesus came. He was a spotless lamb. And there He gave His life at the cross. For God so loved the world. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, to condemn you and I, but that the world, that you and I through Him might be saved. That was the blood that He shed there at the cross. This weekend, friends, if God is speaking to our hearts, if God is speaking there of an area in our lives, friends, it's about... by the way, we're on a journey here in this life. We're on this straight and narrow way. I hope and trust we are. And as we're on this straight and narrow way, there is still only one way to get through that door. It is through Jesus Christ. and through the shed blood. And I'm finding out in life, through on this straight and narrow way, there's times that God goes into my heart and He sees something. And He says, Amos, this very thing that I need to have cleaned out in your life just this week, God, use somebody to point an area out in my life. Now I kind of became all defensive and say, whoa, if this wouldn't have happened, that wouldn't have happened. But I realize that, you know what? On Judgment Day, I'll be alone with God. And if that very thing is not cleansed in my life, I won't make it through. I won't make it through. The Bible clearly tells us that sin will not enter the kingdom of heaven. If there's any kind of thing in our life this week, and I encourage you, listen, friends, the only thing that we can be cleansed from it is through the blood of Jesus. And tonight, that's what we're going to talk about. Why it's so important to come to Christ and allow that blood again to cleanse us. We're a little bit like a garden at times that needs to continue to be maintained. Our heart is a little bit like a garden. And there's times that there's these weeds that pop up in the garden because this heart is surrounded by flesh and blood. And maybe you don't find it that way in life, in your life, but I do. That I need this blood continuously in my life to continue to cleanse me, to wash me clean. So this weekend, friends, if God points something in your life, don't be afraid. Don't delay, by the way. Let's not delay. This altar is open before God. This is God's altar this weekend. I don't care how often you come to this altar. It's between you and God. I don't care how many people come. If you're not, just make sure that our hearts are right with God. Because time is running out, friends. Time is coming to a close. One of these days, it's going to be all over. And one of these days, it's going to be over for you and I. And life will go on, most likely. One of these days, we'll have a death date. It'll be by far too late. It'll be by far too late to make things right with God. Or maybe make right with your fellow man. I'm convinced, friends, tonight we can't move on till we make things right when God, especially when God speaks to us. The church today is Satan's target. Has been throughout life. But I believe it has been more than ever before, where Satan is targeting the church, the body of Christ. He's doing everything he can to derail us. He doesn't care how he does it. It can be relationships. It can be husband and wife. It can be strife. It can be all kinds of stuff. Friends, tonight we need to be cleansed and washed clean from those things. For God to really do what he wants to do in our lives and to continue this journey, let's call it the straight and narrow way. The blood. There is power in the blood. Romans 5, 8, and 9 says, much more than being now justified, verse 8, I'm sorry, but God commended his love toward us in that while we're yet what? Sinners. Christ died for us. Think about the price that he paid there at the cross. It was an awful price. My mind goes to, there was ten lepers who came running to Jesus who wanted to be healed. Leprosy was an awful thing. I was reminded this week of what leprosy really was. Someone defined it this way. Leprosy was a difficult thing. It was an awful thing. You were cast out. You were set apart from the rest of the people when you had leprosy. Leprosy, people dried, their skin dried up. There's times their fingers fell off because there was no blood flow through the hands and wherever leprosy was. It was a dead skin. It was dead. And that part of the body died. And they didn't have the things they have nowadays. All the medical that's out there today. But anyway, he said it was an awful thing. And anyway, I think these 10 lepers, they realized they had a need. And they come running to Jesus. And they all 10 wanted to be healed. And Jesus, by his grace, by the grace of God, healed all 10 of them. And then they went their way, except the one came running back to Jesus. He came running back to Jesus because something took place in his life. And he went down, he knelt down and worshiped the Lord. Simply when he was saying, Lord, thank you, Jesus. I yield my body, my life to you. I am now yours as a thank you. And I think about, I don't know why that came to my mind. But anyway, but God commended his love towards us, not while we're yet sinners. Christ died for us. It was an awful price. It was a great price. And I think about when Jesus hanging there at the cross. He's seen you and I from the beginning to the end of our life. He's seen every person in the world. He's seen the most vile sinners, the most evil, wretched people that ever lived throughout history. He's seen them all while he hung on the cross, and he became guilty. Guilty. You and I were guilty because of our sin. We committed it. We've all done wrong. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. None, the Bible says, was righteous, but Jesus alone. And there at the cross, he became guilty for you and I. Our death penalty became him. He took our death penalty upon himself. And there he hung. I'm thinking, I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians, I think it is. It says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God? Think about the price that it cost God's only Son. It's simply saying that Jesus became sin for us. All that we've ever committed, think about it. When I think about any of my sons to take the place of a sinner or anyone throughout life. He became sin for us. Verse 9 says, much more then, be now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from what? The wrath through him. The wrath. The wrath of God is upon the children of disobedience. Let's turn to Hebrews 9. Talks about again about the precious blood. Starting at verse 11, Hebrews 9, verse 11 says, but Christ being come a high priest for good things to come, but a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. To redeem us. For with the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal spirit of offering himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while a testator liveth. Goes on to say, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without and without shedding of blood is no remission. If was therefore necessary that the pattern of these things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For them must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Romans 6:28 says, for the wages of sin is death. What is sin, friend? What is sin? How would you define sin tonight? I know when before I was born again, I thought sin was living an ungodly life, which was. And sometimes we want to categorize sin. We want to look at outside the world. We see people there living in awful sin, and they are living in awful sin. But I'm convinced tonight that the church can't sometimes move forward because there's sin within the body. There is sin sometimes within the camp. And this weekend, friends, if God reaches in your heart this weekend, open yourself to him and yield yourself to him. Let him speak to you. If there is things there, let him clean you up. 1 John 1:9 says this. I'll probably use this verse over and over again. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to do what? Cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness, it says. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, God understands, I believe. I should say, is that the word to say? Is that the word to use, understand? He knows who we are. He knows how we are. And by the way, he framed us and formed us. He knows we're but dust. And I believe he realizes, because Jesus can feel how we are. He's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He knows. He was in flesh and blood too. So why do we want to hide? Why do we want to shove those things underneath the carpet this weekend, friends? Roll that carpet back of your heart. Let's roll it back if God is pointing things there. And let's just get cleaned up. Let's get cleaned up this weekend if that's what God is. And if we are cleaned up, let's allow him to work in us so we can move forward in life. Keep pressing toward that mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. This high calling is not just being preachers and teachers. This high calling is a holy calling, a holy living for God. We're living in a time where the world is pressing in on the church, upon the body of Christ. And sometimes it's difficult. It's hard. Friends, it is so important in these last days that we have a relationship with God. And I guess another thought that came to my mind this week, I know probably all of us here would say, I know Jesus. But the thought, think of it like this, does Jesus know us personally? I can't answer that for anyone here. Does he know you personally? The biggest majority, probably the most majority of the people in the United States especially would say, yes, I know Jesus. But does he know us personally? Does he know us personally? Jesus said in Matthew 7, I think it is Matthew 6, many will come to him and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done this and done that? Done some good thing. But he said, these are the most devastating words to those who thought they were Christians. There is many who will hear these words. Many will hear these words being said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Those are some words that I don't really like to personally preach about or talk about. But they're not my words. They're the words of Jesus. And I don't want to be here to condemn or to bring fear in anyone's heart. But it's reality. It's reality. Probably one of the most things I tremble at are those verses. And as I go throughout life, when I read that, that it says that there's many that will say, Lord, have we not done this? Have we not done that? But he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. They were going through all the emotions. These were people who professed to know him. This was not these ungodly people that are out in the world, the rock stars, the movie stars, and all these people that are on drug addicts. He's not talking about those people there. He's talking about those who were within the church. And the other scary part that just frightens me from time to time, and it makes me look at my own heart, where Jesus said, the love of many in the last days will wax cold and cold, worse and worse, because iniquity shall abound. These are people who once had a love for Jesus. They once had a first love for God. This weekend, I trust God tonight loves every one of us. He wants a divine relationship with us. He wants it to be so personal with us. And friends, when it's personal with us, the world will see it. By their fruits you shall know them, who they are. Can the world say that they know that Amos is truly in love with Jesus, passionate for Him? It's been a challenge for me this year. Probably one of the greatest challenges I face ever since I became a Christian was just that thought. Song says, Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing into thy holy likeness to grow, thirsting for more and deeper communion, yearning thy love more fully to know. So the chorus goes on like this. Open the wells of grace and salvation. Pour the rich streams, the writer says, deep within my heart. Cleanse and refine my thought and my affection. Cleanse it. I trust this is our prayer daily. May God help us to allow this be our prayer daily. Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing. David had a heart after God. I believe it's one of his greatest longings. Above all, being king and his position was just to know God. To know Him so personally. And David got to know God so personally. That's why he's able to write all the praises about God and throughout the book of Psalms. It's because he had a divine relationship with God. He loved God with all his heart. There's nothing more that David wanted to do. And there's times that David failed. There's times David messed up badly. And guess what? David came right back to that first love that he once had with God. That's the important thing, friends. There's times we stumble. There's times we mess up. There's times this tongue has said things that shouldn't have. Some night, one of these servers, I believe, God's leading. Lord willing, the time tarries, it's going to be on the tongue. About the tongue that no man can tame. The blood. Jesus' blood. The fountain is still flowing. The blood. Let's remember throughout this weekend as we set the tone tonight. Because it was just in my heart, God laid it there, that Amos, we can preach all we want. And we can talk about the things that, you know, that defile the heart and make the heart unclean and whatever else that can happen with the heart. But if we don't point people to Him, to Christ, and let them know about the blood that He shed at the cross, because it's that blood that can cleanse us and make us white as snow. That excites me tonight. That is exciting to me. That is my only hope tonight, friends. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on my Savior's name. We want to remember throughout this weekend. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6. Precious verses. And by the way, friends, you know why Paul was able to write the things that he wrote? Because he knew. He knew. He knew Christ in a very personal way. And Christ knew him. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 and 6. It says, we have to jump back to verse 3 ready. For this is good, and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's the only one this weekend, friends, we can turn to. He's the only one. He is our only hope. I got bad news tonight that if we don't make Him our only hope, there's going to come a day that He's going to reject us. There's going to come a day that He's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me. But if we come to Him and make Him our only hope and place our trust in Him, I got good news tonight. That someday He'll say, I know you. Welcome in. Welcome. One day He'll tell that to those people that decided to follow Jesus and choose to never turn back. Says, for there is one God, verse 5, and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. I'd like to turn to Revelations tonight yet. Go to Revelations 12, verse 11. It says that a few verses before this, there was an accuser that accused the brethren night and day before God. Who was he? It was Satan, the devil. And here's what it says. The great dragon was cast out, that called the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Verse 10, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And he goes to say in the next verse, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. Jesus was this perfect Lamb. Jesus Christ is this perfect Lamb for us. That we can be overcomers. We can rise above. Yes, we can. I'm a firm believer of that. We can be an overcomer. We don't have to allow sin reign in our mortal bodies anymore. Do you believe that tonight? Does that mean we're perfect people? Not in our flesh and blood? No. But I'm convinced tonight that I don't need to allow that sin that kept putting me down and kept robbing this joy, kept robbing this peace, kept me from being an overcomer. I am convinced tonight that when we confess, it's cutting off, repenting of our sin, repenting of what it is, and like Jesus Christ in His blood to cleanse us and make us clean and like Christ to live and dwell in there. I am convinced tonight that you and I can be an overcomer. Do you believe that tonight? I trust this weekend. I trust this weekend that if God points things in our lives. See, He already knows our frame. And I'm not one to dig up a past that's been under the blood. Not at all. But I'm trusting that if God speaks to us, that we yield to Him. We surrender areas to Him. Because we want to press toward that mark. Keep pressing toward that mark. The song says, gaining new heights every day. And I trust that can be, that we can do that throughout life. Jesus paid the price. I guess the title tonight, there is power in the blood. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. And you know, the awesome thing is about our Savior, our Redeemer, the one who died and rose again, that we can come to Him with anything and let Him know that we're sorry. Cleanse me. And He's not there with an iron in His hand. He's not there with a rod in His hand. If you just wouldn't have done this or just wouldn't have done that, you wouldn't be where you're at. No, no. That's not my Jesus. That's not the one who died and rose again. He's there with those open arms to wash, to cleanse us. And I trust the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will empower us this weekend. Because, friends, without the Spirit of God within us, we ain't going to make it. We're not going to make it. We need the Spirit of God, that Holy Spirit, to live and dwell within us, to continue to help us and to make us, help us do things that are pleasing in His sight. Oh, I trust this weekend that the body here with myself would be encouraged and still pressing toward the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. I'd like for us to stand, and we're going to close here tonight. And so what the Lord laid on my heart this evening was about the blood. There is power in the blood. Let us remember that this weekend. Not only this weekend, but throughout life. One of the last verses we quoted tonight was out of Revelation 12, verse 11. Or was it 11, verse 12? It says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and loved not their lives unto the death. Friends, there is victory for us. We can be an overcomer. So let us remember about that blood and how precious it is, and how precious it was to God. The blood that it costs. It cost the shedding of blood. It cost someone's life. I think we'll just close like this tonight in prayer. And I encourage all of us this weekend to come in prayer, seeking God, and ask God to speak to us. Pray for me that I can hide behind the cross. My prayer is, my desire is, that God's anointing would do the work. That the Holy Spirit, whatever the work may be, whether it's giving courage where courage is needed. Jesus said, we're in Isaiah, He said that He's come to heal the broken heart. He's come to set the captive heart free. He's come to make beauty out of the ashes. And He's come to place a garment of praise upon a heart that's filled with the spirit of heaviness. And that it may also receive the oil of joy for mourning. That's my prayer this weekend. We only give God freedom this weekend to do what He wants to do. It's His church. It's His word. And it's His work. Come praying. Pray for us as a family. Pray for me. This is really stretching for me this weekend. It's a challenge for me. But I'm trusting God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this evening. We thank You for the blood tonight. The blood that can cleanse us and wash us clean. I thank You, Father, that when we confess our sins, You're faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for that great love that You've loved us. Before the foundation of the world, Your word says, You loved us. You already had salvation in plan for the soul of man to redeem it. We are created in Your image, God. We're loved by You. We thank You for that. Father, we just again thank You for this word tonight. May this word, oh God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would help us. Would help us, Lord. Give us a revelation of this word tonight. It is Your word, God. And I pray it would sink into our hearts. Lord, be with us throughout this weekend. We need You, O Lord. We need the work of Your Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, if there is things here tonight, if there is unclean hearts here this evening, if there is relationships, God, that are not right with You, Lord, I thank You that You can cleanse that. And You can make it clean. And You can just, You can make all things new again. Yes, You can, Lord. And Father, if there's someone here struggling, Lord, if there's people here struggling with things, Lord, maybe it's what their eyes are seeing and viewing, Lord. Maybe it's something that defileth. Maybe it was a tongue that had unclean words, God. Oh, God, all these things are not pleasing to You. And all these things defile us. You have called us to live a holy life, a clean and holy life before Thee. And I thank You, Father, through that blood that Your Son Jesus shed at the cross can cleanse us then can also help us to overcome. Father, we thank you so much for the Holy Spirit tonight that empowers us, that quickens us, that helps us to rise up, that helps us to become people that you want us to be. Oh God, we just pray a continue, a flooding from heaven into our lives, Lord, as we continue through this life. Pray that you bless this people. Lord, sanctify each one tonight. Lord, draw us closer to you. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. I'd like to, before we sit down, if there is someone here tonight, this weekend, this altar is God's altar. It is a sacred place. It's not about how often who comes. It's not about how many people come. It's between us and God. And friend, there's nothing wrong if we have to come here 10 times. I'd rather have someone come 10 times and get clean than only come 7 times and hope a few things back. It's between us and God. And you don't just have to do it here. When you go home and there's God's been speaking to you in your marriage or in relationship with others or relationship with Him, just yield to Him. Let Him do the work that He wants to do within us. If there's someone here tonight, I see Daniel's getting ready for a song. And Daniel, if you want to lead out a song, great. If in prayer while we're singing this song, if just mind the Lord. If God's speaking to you and you need to be cleansed tonight, do that before you leave. God doesn't promise us to get home alive tonight. I have friends who got killed out here in 340 who never, he didn't see home, who left one night and came home in a coffin. We're not, you know, we're not on promise of the next hour. Let's get right with God. The blood is still flowing today. Daniel, you have a song?